I'd like to discuss with you the subject of a recent movie in a book. It's called Heaven is for Real. Maybe some of you have heard of this movie or the book. And I'd like to just tell you a little bit about it. I have not seen the movie, and I have not read the entire book, but I have read a lot of excerpts of it. The point of this movie and the book is about a young boy who had surgery, and when he had surgery, his parents thought that he died on the operating table, and the young man said that he died and went to heaven. And he said this about heaven. He said, "In heaven we will color things all day. In heaven we will receive wings like angels. In heaven there will be many rainbows. In heaven, everyone flies except Jesus." The young man's name is Colton Burpo, and he relates that story. And the point of the book and the movie is about him telling his parents about his experience when he died, went to heaven, and then came back. And the point of the movie is the father in the story is getting up his courage to tell people about the story that his son had to tell. So he was having an emergency surgery for a ruptured appendix, and his parents believed that it was a miracle that he survived. And after the surgery, Colton begins to share details about people and events that his parents said that he never had been told about, and he told his parents that he had gone to heaven. And there have been a couple of people that I'm associated with that have mentioned this book to me and want to know what I thought about it. And the point is that a lot of people see this story as a piece of evidence that Jesus is real and that heaven is real, hence the title of the book and the movie. And I do believe that heaven is real. But this cute young boy is not the first person that has claimed to have died and gone to heaven. There are lots of people that have said that they died and have been to heaven and came back and told about it and told details about what it was that they supposedly saw. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." So, I know from what Paul said that heaven is real, but I want to talk just a little bit about, this situation with this young man, because it seems really popular today to think about these things. There's a picture of him, and there is a picture, that's the one standing by the bed, and in the movie, Greg Kinnear plays the father, and this is the young boy that plays the kid, and said, "They don't believe me, do they, Daddy?" And so the point of the movie is him coming to grips with, do I share this story or not? Will people think that I'm lying? And a lot of people want to believe that story. After all, it's a cute young boy that couldn't have an agenda, and he's believable. And somebody asked me one time, "Well, what do I think about it? What's your opinion on it?" And does it? The fact is, it doesn't really matter what my opinion is on it. It matters what the Bible says about the subject. And if somebody asked you what you thought about this movie or this story or this book, what would you say? What would you tell them? And you might be thinking, "Well, Randy, what's the big deal? I don't know why you're making a big deal out of this." So what is the issue? Well, let's talk about a few things. The issue is where we put our trust. The issue at hand is where we will put our trust in regard to Jesus and heaven. I understand that this movie actually has been a little bit more popular than people thought that it would be. And a lot of people like the story because there's a little boy telling about this, and it seems to provide some kind of validation for some people regarding Jesus and heaven. That this little boy comes back and says, yes, it's real. And for some people, it gives them hope that heaven is real and that Jesus is real. And the title itself, Heaven is for Real, it denotes that this story is something that's been given to us, that that we can really know now that heaven is real. So the issue is a matter of trust. Do we really need this? Where is our trust? Do we need more evidence external from the Word of God to truly believe? And where are we going to place our hope and our faith? And it comes down to our hope is in Jesus Christ, and our hope in heaven is based in our hope in Jesus Christ, and that our trust resides in what God has revealed to us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So the faith that I have comes from what we read in the Scriptures. It comes from what God has chosen to tell us about Him, about Christ, and about heaven. There's a lot of things that don't really satisfy my curiosity, as I've mentioned before. There are a lot of things that I would like to know that I don't know. I suppose if all of us had our curiosities answered, the Bible would be bigger than this room. Because each of us would have different things that we're curious about. But what God gave us in His Word is sufficient. And it will let us know what God wants us to know about Him and about our future and what it is that we need to do to secure our future in Him. And so we can believe and be blessed without seeing Jesus physically or seeing heaven. John chapter 20 and verse 27, when Jesus appeared to His disciples after He was raised from the dead, there was one who was not present, and Thomas was not present at the first time that Jesus appeared to His disciples. And when Thomas was told about that, he said that he wouldn't believe until he put his hand into the scar. And John tells about that in John chapter 20. It says, Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered Him and said, "My Lord and my God." And so Thomas received that confirmation physically that Jesus was alive. But Jesus goes on and says, you've seen Me and now you've touched Me, but there's others that didn't have that opportunity, but they did. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen Me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So we can believe and be blessed without seeing Jesus or heaven. We can read what John says, and we can believe because of what's been written by the apostles who did see Jesus alive. That's evidence that we have. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly." When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. And so Paul is saying that I've received something, but you're going to benefit from what it is that I've received. And because of who Paul received it from, they can have confidence in it. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. I'm revealing something to you so it won't be a mystery anymore, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul is saying, you can believe because it has been revealed to you now. So that is the issue. The issue is where we put our trust. And yet someone might say, "Well, I still don't really think it matters. Why can't we believe what the Bible says about Jesus in heaven and believe, this account as well that this young man says?" And what is the problem with that? Well, the problem is that this kind of story here, in Colton's situation, and, I understand that some people think, "Well, you're just beating up this little kid," and I'm not trying to do that. What he says and what others have said that's similar, it just conflicts with the Scripture and what's been revealed to us. And so this isn't about what people want to believe. It's about what we should believe. And the problem is that we don't need the words of this little boy or anybody else today to believe in Jesus or in heaven, because Jesus tells us who it is that we're to listen to when it comes to believing in Him. In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Let's turn over there. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Jesus tells us here who it is we are to listen to in regard to our belief. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus is saying that the word that He is speaking, it's something that should unify. And He is the source of the knowledge that we can put our trust in. And what we see in this story is that what is portrayed in the movie and the book is something that conflicts with the Word of God. Let me give you an example. The young man Colton claims that he died, went to heaven, and he returned. Does that conflict with the Scriptures? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment." You know, there are many movies and TV shows that kind of take what we know from Hebrews here, that we're to die once. Well, you know, sometimes they make somebody come back from the dead. And I'll just say that I don't know that somebody that is on the operating table and has all kinds of anesthesia is always in the best frame of mind to know what's really going on. I know one time when I was going into surgery, there were things that I said to Jarrell that made no sense at all. And there are dreams that I've had at different times. You know, I dream all the time that I can hold my breath and fly. And that's all I have to do. And I can control how high I'm flying, as to how much, you know, I can just exhale a little bit of air if I get going up too high. I've had dreams that my dad's still alive. Jarrell has had dreams that I was married before and that she didn't know about it. There are all kinds of dreams that I've had, and I won't go into many of them, but I wake up and I'm so glad that it's not real. And there are things that my dad said to me when he was on painkillers in the hospital when he was undergoing his surgery. And he had not been one that had ever been on many painkillers. And so he's saying crazy, crazy things. And so what I'm saying here is a young boy who may be having dreams and being on strong painkillers during a time of surgery really a great source for determining, you know, truth about something. I think anybody that's on painkillers is not usually a good source of truth on something. But aside from that, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells me that when we die once. Man is appointed to die once, and after that, the judgment. So do we die once or twice? Yeah, well, that's the problem with the story. But, you know, Colton's parents later determined, well, maybe he didn't die. You know, we thought he died, but rather he had a vision like Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That was read for us by Noah. And here, you know, Paul talks about the vision that he had. And Paul, you know, speaks here of that. He seems like he's a little bit confused as to what happened. And he says, "I know that something happened. I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. And so there's things that I don't know about what happened, but God knows." And he said that he was not going to boast about that. And he really doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about what it was that he saw. Maybe he could have silenced some of his critics by telling them all that he saw, but he did not do that. He remained pretty silent about, you know, the nature of all that. But when you listen to this story, the Colton story, the many others, they don't have a problem filling in the silence. Paul didn't fill in the silence. And so why is that? You know, Paul's story is a lot more believable to me because over the years I've heard many people talk about going to heaven and back, and their stories don't match. And there's conflict. But the Scriptures tell us that we die once. And so that really settles it for me. When people say that they went to heaven and came back, no, if you'd gone, you'd still be there. You know, that didn't happen. Something may happen in your head, and I don't know what, but God tells us that when we die once. And after that, the judgment. Also, Colton claimed to see Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, Paul says that Jesus appeared last to him. Last of all, as to one untimely born, or some translations say as the one born out of due season, he also appeared to me. So Jesus had appeared to his other disciples, but he also appeared to Paul. But he appeared to Paul last as one out of due season because he was chosen later. And so Paul and the apostles saw Jesus alive for the purpose of being eyewitnesses so that others could believe in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 30, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, says, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." So here, Peter tells that Jesus appeared to us. We are all witnesses of that. So, do we need an account from people today, or from this boy, or from anybody else for that matter? So, do you see now, and what the problem is when people come up with these kind of stories? Do we really need any more confirmation? We don't need any more confirmation about Jesus. And so the question is, who do we follow? Now, this will not be the last time that we hear of someone going to heaven and seeing Jesus. This is just the latest story that's been popular. And I believe that it's been very popular because it's a young boy. And it would not have gotten the press that it did had it been somebody older. Because a lot of people would have considered somebody older a little bit crazier. But when it's this young boy, it's a story that a lot of people like to believe. So, while it may be deemed as being a comforting story, and many people, when they see the movie, they say that they're spiritually encouraged by it, it's really at odds with what the Bible teaches us about what we need to put our faith and trust in. What's the danger in it? Why is this important? Or is it important? Well, if I choose to believe this story, am I going to believe the other ones too? And what about the next person? And the next person? Do we believe every person that says the same thing? The danger for us is that we have to place our faith in the correct thing. We need to place our faith in something that has foundation, and it's something that can be considered to be firm. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "We may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful things." And today, there are many people who really have a surface knowledge of the Scriptures. And when something new like this comes out, you know, they're swayed by it. And if, you know, just being spiritually minded is some sort of a hobby and something that is not followed up on a daily basis, where we try to increase our knowledge of Scriptures, when something like this comes out, people get excited by it. But it's the Scriptures that teach us that we can know things for certain about Christ and about the hereafter. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as Luke starts out his gospel, he says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have taught." So when you read what Luke says, and Luke is the gospel that really puts things into a chronological order concerning the life of Christ, you read this and you see that there is some thoroughness and some organization to what Luke is saying that I'm going to do. I want to write an orderly account that you may have certainty of the things that you have been taught. And then you compare that to the claims that people have today that, well, you know, God spoke to me and said this, and I had a vision about this and that. Or this young boy, you know, died and went to heaven. He's come back to give us a message about what he saw. And, you know, we can't explain what happened to him, so I think God's trying to tell us something. You compare this to the way that Luke starts to lay out his gospel and the things that people try to say today, it just doesn't match up. The same God that is laying out the life of Christ in such an organized way in the book of Luke is the same God that is in a disorganized fashion telling people different things at different times today, and there's no way that it can be confirmed. That just doesn't make sense and doesn't square with what the Word of God says and the pattern that we see in the Scriptures. So we can be confident in Jesus in heaven. And we could be confident. We could have been confident weeks and weeks ago before this movie ever came out. And we could be confident before that book was ever written or this young man went into surgery. We're just as confident now about Jesus in heaven without his story or anybody else's because we have the Word of God. We have the words of the apostles. And they didn't allow, you know, cleverly devised fables, and they said that we can trust their words because of who it came from. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter uses those very words. In 2 Peter 1 verse 16, he says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He revealed honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with Him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well and pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Again, you see here that Peter is saying the Word of God was delivered in a very purposeful way, and that those who heard the Word of God and proclaimed the Word of God did that because they were not making that up on their own, but God purposely told them what it was that they were to say. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect of that the day of the Lord has come." So here, there is a warning to the Thessalonian brethren. Don't be swayed by people's stories. But Jesus is coming, and He had not come. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. "So when the Lord Jesus, after He had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message with accompanying signs." And so Jesus gave the word to His disciples, and it was delivered to us, and that's all that we need. And we have to decide where we are going to put our trust. Now, some people have mentioned to me that, well, you know, this kind of story, at least it gets people thinking about spiritual things. And even though it may not be true, it's something that's real interesting, and it gets people thinking about, you know, whether or not heaven is real and that they ought to be preparing to go there. And, you know, that may sound real good on the surface, but let me give you another way to look at that. When we have people in the world that are coming up with these kind of stories, regardless of how sincere they are in thinking that they had this experience, It is not something that can be confirmed. And I think it does damage to the kingdom of God when people that are not Christians and are skeptical of the Word of God see those who call themselves Christians get excited about this kind of story that has no basis in fact and can't be confirmed. It just does harm to the perception of Christians today, because it looks like a fairy tale. It looks like something that can't be confirmed, which it can't. When we can put our faith and trust in the revealed Word of God without getting sidetracked on these kind of peripheral issues and peripheral stories, there is evidence for the Word of God. There is evidence that we have talked about at other times in the accounts of the resurrection. And we need to place our trust in what it is that God has revealed to us. And He told us how He was going to reveal His will to us. So, yes, heaven is real. And it's not because little boy told us it's real. It's because it is a place that we will be if we place our faith in Jesus and in the Word that He has revealed to us. In John chapter 20, verse 30, John wraps up his epistle by saying, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So John says, you have what you need. There's a lot of other things that happen in the life of Christ. But what was written so that we can believe. Let's put our faith in the revealed Word of God alone, without some of the things that people come up with today, and we'll be a lot better off by concentrating on that instead of things that cannot be proven. So I hope this lesson was beneficial to you. If you have not done what it is that you need to do to become a Christian, certainly we have talked tonight about the fact that heaven is real, and just the same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about hell, and you have a choice at which destination you want to be. And the choice is yours to decide how you're going to live your life. And it will be your decision where it is that you are in eternity. God has made those choices available to us. If you haven't made the right choice and begin preparing for that, there's no time like the present to start that preparation. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.